Let me begin this hour by talking about suspensions in North Carolina's public schools. About 100,000 public school students in North Carolina got suspended or expelled one or more times in 2015-2016. That includes quite a few elementary school students, so it goes down to that level. We have a tendency to take suspension for granted as a disciplinary tool, but it also means the kids spend several days out of school. It doesn't have a good effect on educational instruction. A lot of evidence of disproportionality in terms of demographics, and there are ways to do it better. There was recently a report on NC school suspension rates that was just released by the Youth Justice Project of the Southern Coalition for Social Justice, with a lot of information about the current state of suspension as a disciplinary tool, but also information on what schools can do to improve the situation. We're joined now by Peggy Nicholson, who is the co-director of the Youth Justice Project. YouthJusticeNC.org, by the way, is their website if you want to read this report in full. But Peggy joins us here in the studio. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So there's been an increase in the number of suspensions recently in North Carolina, and that's after several years of decline. So what is the reason behind the increase, do we know?
So yeah, since about 2007, 2008, we saw suspensions going down, and we kind of attribute that to a growing consensus that suspensions don't work. There are more effective ways to address misbehavior. Suspensions really can harm students and school climates. But in the last couple years, we've seen suspensions, especially short-term suspensions, start to creep back up. And so that's concerning, and we're not exactly sure why. One theory that we have is that schools have fewer and fewer resources. So it is hard to address misbehavior without using suspension. Some of the alternatives do require additional training or additional resources. We're just not putting that into schools right now.
Has there been an increase in like disciplinary issues in general, or is it suspensions in particular that have gone up?
So there's no research showing that there are like increased number of misbehavior. It seems that students are still misbehaving in the same ways and at the same rates that they've always misbehaved. It's just suspension as being the kind of frontline tool to address that misbehavior now.
So let's talk about suspensions, because I mentioned this, and before I read this report, I'm like, oh, suspensions, you just sort of take it for granted because we've all lived with it. We've all grew up in schools where if you misbehave, you get punished. If you really misbehave, you get sent to the principal's office. And if you jump up one level beyond that, you get kicked out of school for a couple of days. But you sort of think about it, like, suspension is not a really good educational tool because now you're stuck at home doing nothing. You don't get the classroom experience. So what are the actual effects of suspension? What do we know about the effect on education, the effect on discipline, the effect on behavior in school? What do we know?
So a suspended student is a student who's not in the classroom getting instruction time. We know that students who are suspended are more likely to be arrested, to be court involved, less likely to graduate. And then a lot of people kind of push back and say, but you have to get the disruptive students out of the classroom. But what we also know is suspension and schools that have high rates of suspension actually have reduced school climates for all students. So it's not necessarily that you get rid of one rotten apple, which a lot of people would have you believe. Schools that are actually addressing the misbehavior, getting the root of the misbehavior, have more positive school climates and school communities for all students.
And you mentioned like students who get suspended get arrested more often, get in trouble with the law more often. Is that more often than students who misbehave at the same level and get treated in a different way with an alternative form of discipline?
So yes. So students who are suspended versus a student who gets an in-school consequence, maybe community service or writing a letter of apology and actually gets to stay in the classroom connected to the school and the teacher and those relationships, that student is less likely to then have an interaction with law enforcement or to be referred to the court. We often see students suspended and referred to court for the very same behavior because we now have an increased presence of school police officers and school resource officers. So in school, there's often students getting kind of double punished for the same behavior.
Speaking with Peggy Nicholson, again, co-director of the Youth Justice Project of the Southern Coalition for Social Justice, YouthJusticeNC.org is the website to get more information about the project and about this new report on suspensions in North Carolina public schools, the fact that they've gone up recently, what are the effects, what are some alternatives, and also sort of the disproportionality of suspension. We always talk about this in the context of, you mentioned the fact that SROs are in the schools now, got people concerned about the school-to-prison pipeline. define discipline, sort of hitting certain demographic groups, boys more than girls, racial minorities more than whites. Is that also the case with suspensions as well?
Yeah, one of the findings of the reports, and one of the things that has been consistent over the past 10, 15 years that we've been collecting this data, is students of color, male students, and students with disabilities are disproportionately receiving these suspensions. And it's important to be clear that, especially when it comes to students of color, that's not because they are misbehaving at higher rates or with more severity. It really is kind of these things we hear about, like implicit bias and lack of training and cultural competency, institutional racism, that are contributing to this disproportionality.
Yeah, I think that's an important distinction to make, because people sort of, that's the immediate reaction that people have, but it's in fact, if you misbehave and you are black, you are more likely to get suspended than if you commit the same act of misbehavior and you are white, right?
Right.
Is that getting worse, or is it sort of the same as it always was?
So It depends on kind of the school district, and a lot of school districts have tried to implement things to get at that disproportionality. It stayed kind of steady, but it is creeping up. And for example, in Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools, even though they have really tried to address racial equity issues in discipline, in the 2015-16 school year, over 50% of their short-term suspensions went to black students, even though only 11% of the student body is African-American. And that's an increase from the year before in terms of how the percentage of black students getting those short-term suspensions.
So what are alternatives to suspensions? What can schools do instead?
So they can make policy changes. We've seen school districts in other states actually just say you can't suspend elementary school students. You know, that at that age, there are other ways that you can keep those students in school and address misbehavior. We've seen in a lot of places in North Carolina policy changes that encourage in-school consequences before you get to suspension. So you have to try after-school detention. You have to try a behavior plan. You have to try all these alternatives before you get to this step. We've also seen here in Chapel Hill, Carborough City Schools, restorative justice practices being implemented in schools like McDougal Middle School, which used to have very high suspension rates, and they've been able to bring those down with some of these kind of restorative practices that build community and relationships.
And for schools that do that, obviously the suspension rate goes down because you're dealing with students who misbehave in other ways. What's the impact on behavior in school? What's the impact on disciplinary issues in general? What's the impact on educational outcomes?
Right. So in some of the larger school districts that have done, like really tackled suspension and kind of done major policy changes, there have been fewer arrests, fewer incidents of violent crime, fewer disciplinary incidents overall, increased graduation rates. And Denver Public Schools in Colorado is a really great example of a school district that has tackled suspension with policy changes, training, kind of a whole turnaround within the district top down.
Speaking with Peggy Nicholson, again, co-director of the Youth Justice Project, youthjusticenc.org, for more information on them and about this report that we're talking about, which I'm trying to hit as many of the points of as possible, but there's a two-page summary that's got 17 different points on it, so we're not going to hit them all. But what do people need to know about this study and what you found that we haven't covered yet?
I would just reiterate that schools need resources to tackle student misbehavior without resorting to suspension, and right now, public schools in North Carolina are not getting the resources they need. Teachers want to teach. They want these students to be in the classroom learning. And so we've got to give teachers the resources they need, including social workers, counselors, alternative programming. So that's a really important point, that we're not going to make a dent in these numbers until we get public schools the resources they need.
And what can people do to get more information or to get involved in this issue if they want?
So a lot of school district policy is local. So you have an elective school board. You can go request a meeting with your superintendent, and they will probably let you know that resources are an issue as well. So you can contact your legislative delegation to kind of reiterate the need to fund public schools. And we're going through a budget process right now in the General Assembly, so it's an important time to be making your voice heard.
YouthJusticeNC.org is the website. Go there to find out more about the Youth Justice Project. You can get this entire report in full on the website, right?
Right.
So go there and download the whole thing. It is actually fairly short, very, very important to read. And again, with budget season ongoing right now, all the more important to get involved in this issue now if you care. YouthJusticeNC.org is the website. Get more information there. Peggy Nicholson, thank you so much.
Thank you.